Today on Real Life Radio.
We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus saved us. He even died for us. And the scripture says, who would die for any man? Who would even die for a good man? But Jesus, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? The worst thing that you and I have ever done, Jesus knew and went to the cross to forgive us anyway.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Diagnosis Hypocrisy. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 11, we'll consider the true meaning of hypocrisy as Jesus unmasks the hidden character of those who choose the law above everything else. You see, the scene is set for three key players: the Pharisees, who were doers of the faith and outwardly known for their good deeds; the religious lawyers, on the other hand, well, they were enforcers of the faith and knew the Bible better than anyone. The third key player is Jesus, whose diagnosis of hypocrisy takes center stage. The challenge? Choosing tradition over God's Spirit and God's Word. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's very easy to fall into hypocrisy, where the Lord is not center stage in our lives. As Christ followers, we need to stay close to Him and to keep Him number one in our lives. Our relationship with the Lord is to stay honest in the face of all the attractions and distractions the world can throw at us. But before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Diagnosis Hypocrisy, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, I was reading a friend of mine. He wrote a book. I had a chance to speak with this guy at a men's retreat. Great, great, great guy. He went with a friend of his. He was asked to speak at the Hollywood Bowl for Easter sunrise service. And the committee for the Hollywood Bowl asked him, we need to know where your address is. We need to GPS. We need to find out where there's a place close enough where we can pick you up by helicopter. He said, helicopter? I know where the Hollywood Bowl is. I live in Pasadena. I can make it. And they said, well, the preacher last year had to have a helicopter. He said, that's not necessary. They said, well, okay. Then where do you want the limo to pick you up at? We need your address. He said, I have a 99 Volvo. It works fine. And they said, we can't have you come in a Volvo. You can't come to the Hollywood Bowl to be the key speaker on a Sunday service in a Volvo. And he said, why not? He said, well, because the person the year before that had to have a limo. Doctor, reverend, pastor, minister, servant, I need a helicopter? Watch out. Hypocrisy causes your eyes to burn and skew reality. Then the Lord said to him, now you, Pharisee, make no mistake about it, church. Jesus is busting this guy and Pharisees in totality. It's plural there. Can you imagine the silence that must have been in that room? How did this happen? Why did this happen? I don't know anything about them, but I know something about me and I know something about us. As believers, we need to be very careful, church. Always very careful. Here's the reason why. We can be so in love with God, but get so sideways with things that we can walk away from the love of God and the life of God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you because you've left your first love. Hot love. The word is hot, preeminent, always before your face, love. You've left your first love, Jesus said. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do your first works. I love that. Isn't this great? If you forget everything else, remember this. Jesus said, hey, Christians, stay close to me. Keep dating me. Keep flirting with me. Keep hanging out with me. Keep sending me notes. Keep waking up in the morning saying, love you, Jesus. What are we going to do today? Watch a cloud go by, or by the mercies of God, hallelujah, rain clouds came by Southern California this weekend, and it rained. What did you do?
My car's all dirty now.
Or did you say, thank you, God, we're in a drought. Thanks for the rain. Do your first works. Hey, remember when you met him or met her? First love. Hi, hello, where are you going? I don't know why. Whatever, I'm going wherever you're going. What? You love their voice, you love their smell, they can even sweat, and it's fantastic. So cute, anything. Oh, my hair's messed up, I'm sorry. It's awesome. Think about it. Jesus says, be like that with me. Be like that with me. And if you're not like that with me, get back. Why? Because the danger is hypocrisy can creep in. We can get complacent with him. We get a skewed reality. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Conceit means eyes on yourself, eyes focused on you. In lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others more highly than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your interests, but the interests of others also. Don't let conceit, which breeds hypocrisy, come into your life. Because it's not that hot love for one another. The conceit is this. Look at me. Hey, look at me. How do you like it? Look at me. What are you going to watch me do? Enough talk about you. Let's talk about me. Conceit. Hypocrisy burns the eyes. It leads to a skewed reality when someone's a hypocrite. Putting on that face to be somebody else. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. Hypocrisy cannot see reality. And thirdly, hypocrisy cannot respond to honesty. Hypocrisy and honesty are on the opposite ends of the page. Jesus says, foolish ones, did not he, that is God, who made the outside make the inside also? You guys clean the cup on the outside. You wear cool robes, but what about your inside? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. This is a very difficult verse to understand in the English. It's rather pathetic. The word actually means this. Look at your Bible. I need you to look at your Bible. This is what it means in the Greek. Foolish ones, did not he, that is the Lord, make the outside and the inside the same? He knows everything. Verse 41. But rather do this. And this is a precious statement by Jesus. But rather give alms. Give the poison that resides inside of you away. Get it out. Bring it out. Just let it go. Stop being a hypocrite and let it come to the surface. Let it out. Stop wearing a mask. Bring it out. Then indeed, all things are clean to you. Do you see that now? Get it out. He's telling the Pharisees, as crazy and sideways as they were, Jesus was saying, get that stuff to the top and get it out. It's a great statement of mercy. Jesus is saying, don't stay that way. Get your hypocrisy to the top and throw it out, and you're going to be fine. Well, let's see what they do with that. Jesus gives them a true, beautiful, loving invitation, but will hypocrisy respond to honesty? Listen, church, before we leave this point here, understand this. Hypocrisy is absolutely terrified of honesty. Hypocrisy doesn't want to hear honesty. Can't handle it. Honesty says this. Jesus says in honesty, will you just let that stuff out of you? Come on, I know it's in there. Let it out and get clean of it. What does hypocrisy do when it sees that? It gets all threatened and insecure, and it takes a bigger stand. No, it's not. No, I'm fine. You think you're justifying and making yourself okay, and you look like a lunatic to people. It's a cover-up. Honesty says, come on. Hypocrisy says, I'm not going to get down where you live. It's very sad. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's what we're to do. Honesty says that. Come on, church, let's be honest. Have we Have we all attained? What do you think about you? Are you honest about you? Are you a hypocrite about you? What do you mean? I'm pretty good. Well, we would have just end the service right now. We'll go walk out to the fountain and watch you walk across the water fountain out there. Come on, let's go. Take your shoes off. Let's walk. Come on, brother. Walk across that water. You're so impressed with yourself? Let's see you walk on water. See, hypocrisy thinks it can walk on water. After all, don't they know who I am? After all, I'm a water walker. Apparently, he doesn't realize who he's talking to. Who am I talking to? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus saved us. He even died for us. And the scripture says, who would die for any man? Who would even die for a good man? But Jesus, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? The worst thing that you and I have ever done, Jesus knew and went to the cross to forgive us anyway. You can't forgive yourself, but he longs and desires for you to come and ask him for forgiveness because he has forgiven you at the cross. You've got to come to him. My goodness, it's wonderful. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. It cannot see reality, and it cannot respond to honesty. Point number two this morning, verses 42 to 44, diagnosis hypocrisy if there's a hardening of the heart. You could have hypocrisy going on in your life if there's a hardening of your heart. How so? This way, hardening of the heart can cause self-justification. Self-justification. What does that look like? Jesus says, verse 42, but woe to you, Pharisees! How grieved I am! How sick and sorry I am, Pharisees! How tragic to you, Pharisees! Listen, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and you pass, the word is pass over, you neglect, you drive right around justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done while not leaving out the others. What is he saying? Number one, love the Lord. Number two, act in justice. Then go ahead and do your tithing. Now, church, get a load of this. You got to give these guys some credit. One thing that Pharisees did, they tithed big. Every church would love to have some Pharisee tithers. Why? Because they tithe everything. This is what Jesus is knocking. He's not knocking their giving. Listen to this. They tithe everything. You see this? See all these microphones up here? A Pharisee would say, we're going to donate a tenth of these to the homeless music band, something or other. And how many shoes do we have in the sanctuary? Take one off each foot. We're going to donate those to the... They tithe everything. And you say, well, that's nice. It is nice, but their heart was wrong. Here's what they did. Man, they tithe a portion of their money. Yes, that's true. They did. They tithe this. They tithe that. Okay. Oh, look, I have 5 branches on my little mint plant. I'm going to take 10% of that. I'm going to tithe it to the Lord. And you say, well, that is sweet. It's great if your heart's right.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
What they did was they wound up not only keeping records so that they might impress one another, they told one another, hello, yes, I gave 10% of, and they would announce it. Remember in another place, Jesus says, don't let your good works, your alms, be done in front of people. You guys, a friend of mine visited a church in Orange County. I'm not going to name it. I am not going to name it. You'll know it when I say it. When they passed the plate there, people literally stand up and say, praise the Lord, I'm giving $1,000. Oh yeah, it's not very far from here. Another person stands up and says, I'm giving $10,000. Oh yeah! I'm sure while the guy sits backstage, hoo-hoo. That is so evil. That is so carnal. Jesus said, you better enjoy it, because you've already had your reward. Oh, what was it? The men going, ooh, man, he gave $1,000. A little golfer's clap is all you're going to get. Hey, if you're boasting about it, you're a hypocrite. After all, don't you realize? It doesn't matter what I realize. What does God know? Hardening of the heart's weird because it begins to justify itself. Self-justification sounds like this. When the officer pulls somebody over, hey, were you guys just, they were, I wasn't. It's always someone else. That's their fault, but I assure you, I was on your side. Self-justification. Always seeing yourself above the law, above the rule, above the requirement. Self-justification in the most gross sense is not in the negative, but is an attempt to make it a positive. I tithe 10% of all that I have. And you know, that is an Old Testament rule or statement. True. 10%. If you want to say, well, yeah, I'd like to tithe 10%. Honestly, the Old Testament tithing was way more than 10%. 10% only went to the temple. It was about 23%. You say, oh my goodness. Well, all right, let's not talk about that then. Oh, I'd rather read the New Testament personally. Really? You want to read the New Testament personally? Do you know how much you're supposed to tithe in the New Testament? 100%. You're supposed to give God everything and then live off what you need. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Amazing. Wow. Hardening of the heart will tend to justify itself. He says, woe to you, Pharisees. You left the most important thing undone. That is your love for God and justice. Oh boy, isn't that a great thing? Justice, it's missing in our world today, justice. Do you know if justice was being done godly, if justice was being given biblically, there'd be no yelling and screaming about black and white, red or yellow, injustice this and all about that. Justice. It's supposed to be immovable. The standards of justice, the scales. Remember, she's got a blindfold around her face. She can't see who's rich or poor, black or white. Justice. When a church is wayward from God, there's no justice in that church. When a Christian is wayward from God, there's no justice. I want to hang out with the cool people, the cute people, the rich people, the clean people. That's injustice. Have you noticed? Try to nail Jesus down. You can find Jesus with rich people, and you can find him with women caught in the act of sex, drugged and thrown to his feet. Pharisees and unbelievers. He's everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? That ought to give every one of us hope. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, the Bible says, Paul said, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He's talking about giving. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly. The word is grumpy or disgruntled. Here comes the plate. I knew it! Put something in it.
What?
Just put something in there. I don't look like a cheapo. Put it in. A whole dollar? And then it goes by. And then that's why we never take an offering at Easter. Because the world comes. I know most of the people come, they come once a year. Maybe twice, once at Christmas.
Oh, I'm going to go there. That's going to go to that church. I'm going to ask for money. I just know it's money.
We don't take an offering on Easter Sunday morning. Why? So we don't want to give you the satisfaction of being, having the opportunity to be grumpy toward God. A cheerful giver, he says. But God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good thing. You know what that means? God will take care of you. Give back to God what's his. He'll take care of you. Well, wait a minute. Really? Yeah. You know Mr. Colgate? Colgate? Toothbrush man? You ever read about his life? That guy was wild, man. Colgate was poor. He had an idea. Toothpaste. Toothpaste. I'm going to make some toothpaste. He says, God, if this works, I'll give you 90% of everything I make. If you say that to God, God will see to it it works. Colgate, how are you going to live, Colgate? That's God's problem. I'm poor. I'm eating, you know, stuff out of the trash now. I'm so poor, I can't get any more poor. But I got an idea. And I'm going to give 90% of whatever I make off this idea to God. No wonder why God made him a billionaire. He gave the billion back to God, and you know, he had to live off a couple hundred million bucks. Poor guy. Look at some of these people. It's absolutely impressive throughout history. It's awesome. You give more to God. This is the only thing in all of the Bible God says, you give to me, and I will give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of your heart, out of your bosom will flow abundance, because God will never, ever, 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 never be indebted to you. I gave God 10 bucks. First of all, you should go get it back because it doesn't count. Okay? Don't be grumpy. Cheerful. Harry Ironside was preaching in Sioux Falls, South Dakota in the 40s. Coming from Chicago to Glendale, California. Stopped and was preaching in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and they took an offering for the preaching. And he noticed that when the singing was going on, the plate was being passed, and this huge, giant Blackfoot Indian stood up, and he told the usher, lower, lower. And the guy says, what? He goes, lower the plate, lower. The guy goes like this, lower. He said, lower. And the Indian stood in the plate, and he said, okay. Ironside asked him after the service, what were you doing? He said, I don't have any money, so I gave God my life. Is that not awesome? That's exactly what God wants. That's what he wants. Hypocrisy is absolutely self-justification of our actions, and they're alienated from God. Number two, not only self-justification, but self-exaltation. Woe to you, verse 43, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. This is funny. This was truly disgusting, but very comical. It's something that you'd watch on YouTube 1,000 times if it was there. What was it? Historians and early church leaders tell us that when these men came into areas of population, they were hoisted up to preeminence. They were, hello, Rabbi so-and-so. It was a big deal. Oh, look, there's Rabbi so-and-so. Look. Hey, come sit here. And they would love it. Thank you. They would even, listen, historians tell us they would even come late intentionally. It's all filled up, and then they would come in with their little toga-type robes or whatever. Yes. Rabbi so-and-so, how about, oh, yes, hello. And Peter going, oh, that, oh. Sits in the chief seat that everybody could see the back of their head or the front of their face, depends on the location. Jesus said hypocrisy loves that. It's interesting, too, how that is in our culture. Hypocrisy loves it. It's something in the human heart. You guys, I did a wedding recently, and we're so carnal. I'm carnal. I pull up in the parking lot. I'm doing this wedding. Am I in the right place? I look around. Ferraris, Beamers, Bentleys, Rolls Royces. Is a car lot? What is this place? Excuse me, sir. What's going on here? Is this the so-and-so's wedding? Yes, it's the so-and-so's wedding. And I'm the one doing it. Well, he goes, can you show me where I'm supposed to park, please? Well, who are you? It's okay. I'll find my own spot. And what do you think? What do you think? I'm thinking, I'm walking there. And, wow. Oh, come on, you guys. Don't look at me like this. I'm thinking, who owns the Bentley? Who's Ferrari? That's a cool Ferrari. Whose Ferrari that is? Let us pray. You say, Jack, you hypocrite. We get impressed with stuff like that. It's all going to burn. It's all going to rust. We're so funny. Whose is that? Sick.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Diagnosis Hypocrisy. You know, this message, Diagnosis Hypocrisy, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Evidence. Our world demands it. We want evidence for the Bible, evidence for Jesus. And in our infinite cry for the truth, we want proof that God is real and Jesus is who he said he is. It's why we're so excited to make available for you our current featured resource. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict: Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell. A trailblazer for truth, Josh McDowell has been at the forefront of cultural trends and groundbreaking ministry for over 5 decades. Now, together with his son Sean, they've completely updated and expanded a modern classic for a new generation. The McDowells will provide you with insightful responses to the Bible's most difficult and misused passages. Evidence That Demands a Verdict: Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.